Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I forgot to punch that button. There we go. Here's
Welcome
the music, everybody.
Lincoln on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of the broadcast. We are excited to have a full lineup today. Lots of new information, a lot to talk about. We've got in the Hot Topic segment, Jessica Peterson with us. I refer to her as a social media guru. She's a Facebook expert. She has a website called CustomerWowProject.com. Great stuff on there. We're looking forward to her coming on during the Hot Topic segment. She's going to be talking about some of the do's and don'ts, the things, the pros and cons, the risks, the rewards about social media. I learned something in a conversation with Jessica, and I said, oh, we got to get that on the radio, and that's what really brought us to this point. So I'm excited to the Hot Topic segment. Also, we're going to be doing a product launch announcement today. You can't just tease you with that. Very exciting. Some new stuff that's coming up. Fun to see what's going on with technology. Of course, we have our favorite person on from technology, Tony Garitano. And then, of course, we'll have Paul Mallow on in just a little bit. He has always got his wisdom. And then Sam Garcia. We've got a full lineup of everything to get into. A special thank you to our sponsors, United Guaranty, which offers a full QM-compliant options. Are you aware that there are several, that United Guaranty provides several borrow-paid options? They include post-pay monthly premiums as well as split premiums. Now, both of them, one of them is no upfront charge to the borrower, and this product is fully excluded from the QM 3% points and then the points and fee cap. So that's real interesting. That's the post-pay. Now, the split premium, the upfront portion of the premium is fully counted in the points in the fee calculation, and the monthly premium is excluded. So there's two interesting options out there. You can learn more by going to the UGCorp.com website, UGCorp.com website. Take a look at QMI options, the post-pay monthly premium as well as the split premium. Great options for you. We're thrilled to have them as our sponsor. And again, congratulations to them on over 50 years of service to the industry. Our other sponsor is Velma, Velma.com. And Velma stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. As you hear me talk each week, we now have them as our sponsor and also as our partner in the broadcast. They send out the electronic notices. If you're not receiving it, let us know. Send me your email. I'll get it included. We're sending those out to all over the place, and we're excited to have them as a partner. Great service. Lots of neat things. Go back and listen to the broadcast we had a couple weeks ago with Brent Emler of Velma. He did a great job explaining some aspects about electronic marketing. Very interesting. Of course, we're following on with that. Again, we're following a series of broadcasts. We're doing a series of broadcasts on how to get the word out about your service, especially this is timely considering the fact that the MBA recently announced that our applications are at a 14-year low in our industry. That is shocking, which means what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing, expecting different results. So we've got to find new ways to connect. Yes, the old is valid, but we have new ways, and we're going to be talking about that throughout this broadcast. Let's see here. Real excited. Lots going on. Let's get into Joe Farr and what he has for a market update. Joe,
hey, goodness,
what was this last week's GDP numbers? My gosh, we'll talk about that, but let's start off by talking about what's happening today. I've got your website up here. And it looks like we had a little bit of a blip, but it's back to kind of close to neutral.
Yeah, we're back to close to where we ended the day on Friday. We had a better-than-expected ISM services number, and MBS prices dropped on the news. They'd been up about 5/32nds, and so that drop down to unchanged was enough to see a couple unfavorable price changes in the market so far this morning. But, before the drop, we were at the best MBS prices, at least looking at the Fannie Mae 30 or 4%, best level in 6 months. You know, and people keep hearing in the press about rising, higher mortgage rates. Well, yeah, we're higher than we were a year ago, but we're, we're at some of the best levels in 6 months. So it's it's a good positive thing. And,
yeah.
And Dave, that was, you know, we've reached the best levels. When you look at what all happened last week, you got to ask yourself, why on earth didn't MBS prices fall and mortgage rates rise?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you look at things like the continued improvement in prices. Just over April, we're up 140 basis points in price, and for the month, last week alone, we're up 50 basis points in spite of much better than expected non-farm payrolls. Unemployment rate dropping. Of course, it dropped for a bad reason, but it's still a reduced unemployment rate, a good pending home sales number, a good ISM number. You know, the Dow reached an all-time record high during the week. Most companies reporting good profits. I mean, all this, and then nothing came from the Fed. You know, we're still going to see the $10 billion month taper. So all of this came in a week when MBS prices improved. Now, the one weakness in the economy came from, as you mentioned, the GDP report came in at just 1/10 growth. But, you know, that's kind of old news, and it's weather-related news, and I really do look for it. You know, the preliminary number, which we've seen, does not yet include a lot of March data. And so you're looking at January and February data, which was expectedly weaker than the improving weather-related March data. So I really look for that GDP number to get revised to better. But that was the only real sign of weakness. And so the question is, why didn't MBS prices fall? Why didn't rates rise with all that positive economic data? And there's been a lot of talk about it here in the last day or two. A lot of people are asking that question. And it really stems from several things. One is inflation's low. You know, the latest measure, the core PCE rose at a 1.2% annual rate. Core CPI, core PPI are all in the 1.5% level. So with low rates, yields can be low. All right. And number two, the European Central Bank is considering another a quantitative easing program much similar to the one we're winding out of right now, okay, and that's caused European bond yields to fall, and that's being affected around the world. And then, of course, the flight to safety that's going on a little bit. Now, it's not a big one, and it's surprising that it has affected bonds positively but has not affected stocks negatively. Usually, a flight to safety has an opposite effect. Bonds improve, stock market falls. We've seen the improvement side of it because we got a lot of foreign money coming in. We have high demand for U.S. government-guaranteed insured treasuries and MBS. So those three things, you know, the conflict in the Ukraine is a volatile situation. We've seen some improvement in MBS prices because of that. We could see further improvement or we could see a complete reversal at any moment. So as you're looking at the week ahead, you've got to keep an eye on what's going on in the Ukraine. With the week ahead in mind, there's very little in the form of significant economic announcements coming out. There'll be several Fed speakers coming out, including Janet Yellen, I believe, tomorrow. And then we have Treasury auctions. The 10-year on Wednesday and the 30-year on Thursday should get pretty good attention. But from an economic perspective, it's really just jobless claims, the JOLTS report on Friday. None of the economic announcements, though, warrant anywhere near the attention that several things did last week. So hopefully we'll see a little quieter week.
Yeah, hopefully we will. It was really, the GDP number really caught people by surprise. It was, I mean, the previous reporting period was 2.9, I think is what it was, and then it was anticipated to come in at 1.1, and then it really, you know, just hit the wall with,
I don't think that's considered as weak as a lot of, as it would be. You know, if that were the final reading, if there weren't any, weather circumstances, I think that it's going to get revised higher, certainly not to the 2.9 that we saw in the fourth quarter. But or 2.6.
But closer
but
to expectation.
It's going to get revised higher. Yeah, I believe it will. And
so
again,
that's
you know, the March data has not even been completely factored into that number, and so that's why they do, you know, three different versions of the same measurement. And I think that second, the version that's announced later this month is going to be a little better indication.
Fascinating information. I was listening to a podcast over the weekend, and they had Andrew, and his last name is Huszar. He was the guy that was responsible for the bond buying program at the Feds. He'd been a bond trader, came back in, had been working with the Feds for 8 years, and he talked about the article he wrote in November. Now, I had missed that article in the Wall Street Journal. It says, The Confessions of a Quantitative Easer. So for Joe, it would be great. I'd love to get you to read that. So Google Andrew, last name Huszar, and the article is entitled Confessions of a Quantitative Easer. He starts out with this, America, I'm so sorry. That gives you an idea of what he has to think about quantitative easing. Fascinating story. Great read. I'm only sorry that I just discovered it because I'd like to put it out to our listeners last week. But it's real interesting, the whole topic of quantitative easing. And so the argument, and it really explains why we're going to probably see more quantitative, or the tapering, and not less quantitative easing. Very, very interesting stuff. A lot to talk about. Always fun to have you on, Joe, especially with the markets as the stomachs turn, as the markets turn. Folks, if you do not have this app, it's just a must-have. I just can't stress it enough. You absolutely need to get this app or this service. And it's not an app. You got to go online, but you can also get it on your iPhone.
You can get it on your phone, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can get it on your phone, just a tap, you know.
Just a tap and it's there, and I'm telling you guys, I have it up and running all the time. Joe, thanks so much for bringing it to us. We are right after the ad break. We've got Paul Mallow coming on to give us an update. I'm on his website looking at some of the information and stories he's posting. Can't wait to get that up. Got a long lineup. Got a lot to get on here with. So let's get to the ad break, then off to Paul. Be right back after this quick brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. I've got the website. One of my favorite websites I have up all the time is www.imfnews.com, and I'm looking through all the headlines, and we have the guy that's behind this website. Of course, this is part of Inside Mortgage Finance. We're thrilled to have Paul Mallow with us. Paul, looking over the headlines, can't wait to get to the short takes, especially another troubling sign for Ellie Mae. That captured my attention. But let's run through the headlines you have up there. Good to have you here with us, Paul. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Wait a second. One of your favorite websites, isn't it the favorite website, Dan?
Of course.
I'm just kidding.
You're my
favorite.
All
right, let's get to this.
That's so funny.
Enough goofing around on a Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
I like MBS Quoteline so as well. So anyway,
I know.
Story.
I'm just kidding. Joe does a good job. I enjoy reading, hearing his commentary. Sometimes like Joe gives me some good story ideas. Anyway, what's going on? Well, as we all know, the world is waiting to see what Ben Lasky in New York State do with the Wells Fargo Ocwen deal.
Yep.
But we also have a story, our lead story today by Brandon Ivey of our staff, about quoting the CSBS, which stands for Conference of State Bank Supervisors. You know, they're basically saying, yeah, CSBS. It's not so easy to say like CBGBs. But basically, the states are, you know, eyeing more regulation for servicers, in particular non-bank servicers. You know, there's a huge amount of concern out there about, you know, how many hoops do we have to jump through to get a servicing deal? You know, we have the FIFA, FHFA, you know, reviewing all deals of 5,000 units or more. Ginnie Mae's taken an interest on servicing transfers. Fannie and Freddie, of course, have always had to approve transfers in their servicing. But, you know, people are starting to take pause about all this regulation, and it's got some people worried. Not so much the smaller flow and bulk deals, but, you know, these legacy deals, and we still probably have a half a billion of those that could happen this year. So there's some concerns here. It'll be an interesting topic to watch over the next half year. We also took another look at the production data that Inside Mortgage Finance Crunch for the first quarter, which we published, I think, a week ago, and that was huge news. It was the weakest quarter in 14 years. Yeah, I mean, everyone's hoping and praying that the first quarter was the weakest of the year and that things are starting to bounce back. But as you, I think you mentioned earlier, that the MBA application number last week wasn't so hot. But, you know, I'm hearing anecdotally from a lot of lenders that applications are up. But the interesting thing, most of the people I'm talking to are non-banks. So there's definitely a shift away from banks to non-banks. And that's going to be something to watch. I mean, you know, Wells isn't about to give up the mortgage business, but it doesn't seem too worried about ceding some market share. B of A is problematic in its own right, and who knows what JPM's going to do, but interesting. Also, our third story is about, in line with servicing transfers, FHFA finally approved a Pingora MSR purchase that had been on hold. Pingora is an investment fund run by Michael Lau, who's a well-known deal maker and has been in the industry for a long time. We don't know the size of that deal. I'm told it's probably just over the 5,000-unit threshold. But the deal got approved, and that's a positive. I was talking about some of the negatives and the worries about the servicing market. The fact that that deal got approved is a good sign for non-bank buyers of servicing. We also have some additional coverage of the Johnson-Crapo bill. Last week we did a lot of reporting on all the comment letters that Fannie, Freddie, and FHFA filed on Johnson-Crapo. This one focused on concerns about if there's a five-year phase-down period for the GSEs, quoting Don Layden of Freddie worrying about, you know, his staff, you know, walking out the door really quickly and leaving Freddie, you know, in a bad position. I'm sure that's also the case with Fannie as well. We have a story about Bayview pulling a reperforming subprime MBS. Again, Brandon Ivey filed that story, and that's interesting. You know, the subprime market, those prices are coming back. This is a reperforming deal. There's concerns about how the valuations were done. So it's something to watch. Finally getting the short takes, Ellie Mae. You know, I listened to the earnings call late last week. It's, you know, people are still scratching their heads over that thing. You know, they didn't, no one is really convinced that what happened there with their platform shutdown, you know, the explanation there, it's just got people worried. I mean, at first they claimed it was an attack on their system by hackers, then it wasn't, then they said they had so much business that their system got overwhelmed, but that gets back to what we talked about earlier. First quarter was the weakest quarter of the year for everyone. How could your demand for service be so huge? And they said, well, you know, we had a lot of new clients, a lot of new usage. Well, that's interesting because your revenue number didn't go up a whole lot. So if people are using your system, it's not flowing down to your bottom line. In today's update, it quotes a one technology source who points out that their accounts receivable line item has gone up. And that worries him because these are account receivable from non-bank lenders who aren't making the kind of money they were making a year ago. So he's a little worried about, you know, how much Ellie Mae can collect on those accounts receivable. But, and again, that's something we're going to continue to watch. A real quick note about Mel Wadd making his first speech next week. What's he going to talk about? He'll probably slow the shrinkage of Fannie and Freddie. That's the speculation. So that's all the neat stuff for this week. It's all on www.amfnews.com.
Brought to you by an outstanding organization, and Paul's in the middle of it. We just appreciate you taking time out of your busy week to be here, folks. Check it out, www.imfnewsplural.com. And, Paul, thank you so much. Have a great week, Paul.
Thanks,
appreciate
you.
See you back here next week, all right?
Take care, Dave. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Let's get into Alice Alvey. We always enjoy when we have Alice on the phone, and she is traveling. She's going to be in Cincinnati. In fact, you are in Cincinnati, are you not, Alice? And you're getting, going to be setting up your booth, correct?
Yeah, we're headed out to the Ohio Mortgage Bankers Conference that is these next couple of days. So good times in Ohio down in Cincinnati. Like I said, I'm headed south for warmer weather.
Yeah, so what are the temperatures there, Ali?
Oh, we're good. We're hanging in the 50s, and you know there's buds on the trees down here, so I'm happy. Yeah.
Spring is beginning to sprung. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Well, what do you got for us today, Alice? There's some things that it just seems like there's a never-ending stream. Like Joe Farr's always got the information about what's going on in the markets. What do you have on regulation?
Well, one of the biggest things is the Reg X and Reg Z proposal from the CFPB to potentially give us an opportunity to have a cure within the points and fees test. So one of the biggest beefs about the current qualified mortgage rule is if you make a mistake, you're done, right? There's no way to fix something, even if you feel you had an honest one-time mistake. So this is a huge proposed rule that everyone needs to comment on. As a matter of fact, in our compliance working group that we hold, we talked about really getting out in front of it with our own comments because, you know, I love the MBA, but they have a lot of people's opinions they try and collect, and a lot of times their feedback doesn't come out until close to the 11th hour, and we really do think every mortgage banker, broker association there should be responding to this. So the idea is, keep in mind there's two parts. Some people have been getting confused about when does the comment period expire. So the part related to identifying a cure for the points and fees test, that is only a 30-day comment period. I have to double-check the date. We may have until like the 1st of June with the actual date posting in the Federal Register, but it looks like it might be around May 30th. The other part to consider feedback about a DTI cure, which no one knows how, or the small creditor exemption, that is the one that has the 60-day comment period. So please, you got to get on this right away to be able to comment about the points and fees test. So what they're proposing, they would like some feedback on how would you define that it was a one-time mistake, right? If I do something wrong once, it's an error. If I do something wrong twice, is it a mistake? If I do something wrong three times, is that a pattern in practice and I'm stuck, right? Tell me how many times, right? I don't know if they're going to give us any guidance on this. So the idea is, you know, how do I defend that this is a one-off circumstance and I would be able to refund the borrower the overage above the 3 points and still keep my QM status? What are the circumstances that would allow that?
Yeah.
And you would have 120 days to pay that. No fine or penalty. They're not, you know, it's not like there would be anything attached onto that. If you found you made a $200 mistake, cut the borrower a check within 120 days for $200. Probably have to redo your HUD-1. Procedurally, we'll work all that out. But, you know, that would be the extent of it. So define that I had a good faith, you know, mistake. For starters, you all have to have written policies and procedures and validate you're following them. We know that'll be a given. And then from there, how do you define a mistake? So, Dave, here's my question. In an issue like Ellie Mae, right, what if I did it right,
right,
but then I had a system problem in the day? Who's liable then for that cure?
Yeah.
Right? You do get a cure. So it'll have, I think, a very big impact even into folks' contracts. So get into reading that rule, identify some of the scenarios that you would like to make sure the CFPB addresses. Then think of a way to come up with a cost of cure for a DTI. We're still working on that one. If I got the income wrong,
wow,
I got it. I calculated it wrong. But maybe I calculated a particular debt incorrectly or differently. And so, again, that is a longer window, not necessarily their immediate proposal. So that's a big one. The other one is the AMC regulations, regulating AMCs. That proposal is open for comment until June 9th. Now, what you need to think about here, somebody brought this up recently, is the states are going to have to now manage approving all the AMCs. They're all going to have to be registered. This is going to cost money. None of our states do anything for free, so guess who's getting a fee? right? There's probably going to be a fee for every appraiser to go through this process. So what's going to happen in small markets? You know, who's going to be willing to cover that fee for the one or two appraisers in those areas? We are hearing some rumblings about how this that fee aspect of this rule will be impacting the industry. So heads up, read that one. Identify whether or not you think there's a concern in your industry and, or in your markets. And then last but not least, Dave, an interesting news piece from our group, our compliance group, saying that the American Bankers Association I just misplaced my note here. Got to grab it here.
The American
Bankers Association is really against the CFPB's proactive approach on the e-mortgage process. So
really?
So if you've seen that the CFPB's been saying, you know, we're starting this effort to take a look at encouraging and giving whatever resources are needed to be able to go through an electronic closing. And the ABA is saying, wait a minute, why is a federal agency pushing an industry process, right? And too many counties aren't ready. So we're going to be watching, see what the American Bankers Association comes out with, because surprisingly, they want the CFPB to back off and let the industry make that move at its own pace. So I'm interested in Tony's take on that when he comes on. So that's my 2 cents for today, Dave. And
lots of good information.
Response.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we've got Mother's Day coming up this weekend, so I know you're a mom, and you got some exciting weekend ahead for you. Hopefully, I think it'll be happy Mother's Day in advance to everybody. Hope you have a good one. So safe travels to you. I know you have to drop it partway through the Hot Topics segment, so look forward. Just want to say thank you, Alice, for your participation in the broadcast, for all the information you provide us. It's good to have you here. Well, folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break with a new product announcement. It's the first that we've done that on the broadcast. Very excited about it, and it has a link to Lickin' on Lending, the radio program. Another way you can listen to it, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. So much to cover. By the way, I did not give this Indicom. MortgageU.com, also known as Indicom Global Services, MortgageU. So make sure you check it out. Google it. It's a great amount of information there. We are thrilled and honored to have on the phone with us today Michael Keller, who is about ready to announce a new product. In fact, it's releasing a week from today. And we have Michael on the line. So I'm going to let him get in and explain what it is. But, I want so much. I'm really excited about this. This is something that I think is going to be very innovative. So, Michael, good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, David. Thank you. The product itself is called Loan Squatch, so it'll be the first native app out there on the market for loan officers to start engaging their ecosystem. So there'll be different portals in there. They'll be for the borrower, so it's a great way to engage the borrower with real-time information through transparency. And then there's a realtor portal that'll be able to log in, and they'll be able to sync with the borrower and the loan officer. It'll recognize everybody in that transaction, and the realtor will really just be able to not just see what's going on with the process, but it's a communication tool. And then finally, the loan officer will be able to log in, and it really will become an app store for the mortgage industry, where not only can you track your own deals that you're using through Loan Squatch, you're also able to get industry news, you're able to get your finger on the pulse, and I think a big part of it, and we're very glad, is your radio program will be on it, access to it, and I believe even more details or more enhancements as far as a mobile minute will be on there. And then we have Progress in Lending is another big partner we chose. And we do expect that list to grow bigger, but you'll always be on the top, David.
Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor to be there. And this is something that's taken a long time coming about, but let's get into what's the inspiration between Lone Squatch? And also, interesting name. How did you come up with the name Lone Squatch? Several people are going to want to know that.
The genesis of the app was to lift the cloud of mystery of what is going on with the loan. And it evolved into letting the realtor into the process, not just the borrower, and making it more of an ecosystem because of the development team that we used to develop the app. They came from the school system and healthcare industry where that engagement takes place. The app itself came about because we do have another product that the implementation fee is a little bit higher for a loan officer that just wants to sign up right away because their borrower is mobile friendly. What this is able to do is you download Lone Squatch, and Lone Squatch came from finding a loan officer that is able to communicate with you every aspect of the loan and keep you up to date is sort of like finding Sasquatch. So we sort of took that fun little play and we put it together. The logos will be fun, and the marketing that comes out after this I think will embrace that a loan process can be as close to fun as possible if you really lift the cloud of mystery that has come about with all this regulation.
Well, it's a great app. It's a great service, and I'm thrilled to have it. How can people learn more about it? What's the website they can go to download this app as soon as it – now, this is – you're releasing this. We're doing a pre-release announcement of it today. How can people learn go to it, learn more, and then get positioned to download it as you go live?
You can go to loansquatch.com, loansquatch.com. You can look up Lone Squatch in the App Store on your iPhone or on your Droid, and you can actually go into it and sample it and sample some of the options that we have for loan officers and realtors up until that release next Monday.
Well, that's exciting. Can't wait. It's a great app, folks. I've been on it, been playing around in it, and we're thrilled and honored to have the radio program featured on there. Thank you so much, Michael. We'll have you back and kind of keep us posted on your progress. I'd like to have you back on a regular basis to kind of give us how it's going. I think it's a great, innovative app, and I'm just really honored that you would feature us on it, and we're blessed to have you on the broadcast talking about it today. Thank you so much, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Folks, go check it out. Lone Squatch, SQUATCH.com. Check it out. It's a great app, and I'm really pleased to be a part of it. Tony Garitano, it's always fun. You're going to be featured in that application as well. You're right there alongside of us, and it's always fun to be in association with you, no matter where that may be. Now it's even broader than just you on the radio broadcast and a great friendship. So have you a chance to look at it, play with it much yet, Tony?
I have not. I did have some early conversations with Michael, and, you know, he's a wonderful guy, and I think the application is very forward-thinking. So we were, you know, just like you, Dave, we were very happy to be invited to participate, and I think it'll be a great thing for the mortgage industry. I think anytime you can get information in a mobile environment and combine that with your everyday work, I think it's going to be a real big innovation. So we're excited about it. I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And Michael is a great guy. I mean, I really enjoy my conversations with him. He is so engaging, and I just tell you, I've got expectations for it. Everything's going mobile, so let's see what's going on with that. Let's get into some of the questions I got for you today. What is the significance of the CFPB announcement about electronic closings? Golly, what's happening there?
Well, I think it was interesting, Dave, because it was a very a lot of people told me that they were shocked by the fact that so many agencies participated on the call. It wasn't just the CFPB on that particular presentation. It was the GSEs. It was the FHFA. Even the National Association of Realtors was there, and PREA, and Ginny. So there seemed to be broad consensus among all of the different agencies, whether they be investors or trade associations, that this is something that the industry should be pursuing. As Alice mentioned, the ABA and the MBA were not present. So we'll see how that works out. But aside from the two banking or lending associations, it seems like all of the other trade associations, all of the investors, and all of the regulators were on board with this announcement. So that's really encouraging, I think.
Yeah, it is encouraging. But it's just, you know, the ABA's, it's just different how different people are taking this. It's a bit of herding cats getting everyone moving over to this, but we'll see how that goes. Where do you see electronic closing adoption going as a result of what the CFPB is doing? Do you really see this as a tipping point?
I see it more as a culmination of what the CFPB has been doing since it was created. I think that the movement is towards more electronic processes, and I think the more electronic the industry can be, whether that includes a full electronic closing or not, the more transparent the industry will become and the more responsive investors will be to getting back into the market, which I think is ultimately an end goal of everybody involved, including the CFPB. I mean, I'm not sure that, I mean, obviously their direct purview is to benefit the consumer, but they're a government agency, and I don't think the government wants to run the mortgage industry forever.
No,
so,
hopefully not.
It would be nice if some investors came back into the industry, aside from the GSEs and FHA. And, you know, how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to make it easier for those investors to get 100% visibility into everything that they're buying.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. And then it's also then the whole debacle, as Paul reported about, you know, what's going on with more scrutiny on LMA. What does this do for anything electronic, anything E within our industry? We'll have to pick up that topic next week. We got so much to cover here yet on the radio to program today. So let's pick up on that one. I'd love your thoughts on that. Tony, again, we're going to make a whole topic, a segment just around you and around technology. And that's going to be coming up. We got to nail down that date. It's coming up very soon, folks. But appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. Check out his website, Tony's website, progressinlending.com. Also, if you have not gotten a hold of, this is an online publication, a new one, is Today's Lending Insights. Great. I love the way Tony does it. I get to write for it every month, and I'm honored and privileged to do so. Tony, good to have you with us. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon.
You too, Dave. Thank you.
You bet. Always fun. We've got on the phone again with us is Sam Garcia of Mortgage Daily. I've got his website up here. Again, Paul was giving me a bad time, which is my favorite website. This is one of my favorite websites out there. There's so many websites with so much information out there, and I was just really diving into the Mortgage Daily website was Friday, actually, digging into some information. I was blown away with what you have here, Sam. So good to have you on the broadcast. Give us a rundown on some things that are you're focusing on with Mortgage Daily.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Dave, and I appreciate that statement about the data we've gotten. I wanted to mention real quick that we're going to offer your audience today a special deal where if they subscribe for 1 year, we'll give them another year free. So a two-for-one. And if that's not what you want, if you prefer to have a second subscription instead, we'll do that instead. So just go ahead, subscribe for 1 year, and you can either call us at 214-521-1300, or you can send an email to subscriptionhelp@mortgagedaily.com.
Excellent. Excellent. There's some great information. Let's get into what you got up there. That's a great service. Thank you. I appreciate you offering that to our listeners. So what you got for us?
You know, one of the interesting stories we covered last week was Loan Depot taking a launch in wholesale lending. It's opened up a wholesale lending division, and, you know, it's coming, of course, at a time when we've seen a lot of wholesalers exit the market recently. So that should be interesting, and they've got some pretty aggressive plans. Before they even announced this this particular deal, they said that they had planned for a substantial increase in originations this year over last year. And, you know, this is at a time when there's some pretty big drops in originations over this last year, especially this last quarter. So obviously this is going to be one of the ways that they're going to achieve that lofty goal.
Interesting. So I'm looking at the website. You got a lot of great stories on here that you are talking about. Again, I think the value is in the stories, but also in the data. So what's some of the other things that you think our listeners need to really be zeroing in on and some trends here?
You know, it's always interesting when we read about somebody who was in the wholesale business getting in trouble. And we cover a lot of wholesale production information. And we had one story that we covered, an account executive who used to work at Mortgage IT. She was basically convicted of helping the loan officers at the broker's office with presenting fraudulent applications to get loan approvals. So that was
wow.
One covered last week. But eight other people have been charged in that case. And then probably one of the more interesting stories last week was the employment report. And our focus tends to be not necessarily on U.S. employment, which obviously is huge because it has such a big impact on mortgage rates, but we actually focus on the mortgage industry itself. And what we find from this last report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics is that mortgage industry jobs at non-banks, you know, that would be mortgage jobs other than financial institutions, were down by 4,700 in March, between March and February. So we're still seeing a decline there, and it doesn't look like that decline is going to go away anytime soon. The total, you know, for the whole country wound up being 288,000 jobs added. So, you know, mortgages are obviously a small part, but it'd be nice to start seeing some growth in that sector again.
It would. With a few moments, one other story. Let's cover one other thing. There's so much on your website. I'm looking over here. I'm looking at the mortgage returns. That's great news. But you say it might fall again. So get insights into the mortgage returns improve, but might fall again. That was interesting. Thoughts on that?
I'm not following which one you're talking about there, but I think if we just got this little bit of time real quick, we saw an uptick in activity as far as agency issuance in April. So, you know, it had fallen to, you know, the lowest level since at least 2005 in March. So when we picked up this data from this April information, it was a nice little morsel of information, and Ginny May was the one that really led the increase in April.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you being a part of it. I like it when you're live. I loved it when you pre-recorded stuff, but it's so much better to have you on live because then I can just hit you with questions. we focus in on what's really the news story and the flavor of the moment, and you've got so much here. Folks, there's a lot of reasons you got to track what's going on. You can't have just one source. You really need to. But the value is, in addition to the daily stories that Sam puts up here, is really the research data that's there. It is worth every dollar, every penny you pay for this. Probably one of the most affordable, deepest, richest services in that regard. Sam, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. Have a great rest of the week, and look forward to have you back next week.
Thank you, David.
Always a pleasure. Check it out, mortgagedaily.com. We got to take a quick ad break, and then we got to get Jessica on for 15 minutes here talking about all the things that are really the risks and rewards. So we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined
combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you back. We are honored and blessed to have Jessica Peterson, who I think is probably just a bundle of energy, one of the most positive people I've ever met out there. And she is the person I turn to when it comes to some of the way to use a Facebook effectively. Jessica, good to have you on the broadcast. I want to make sure you're on, and we got you live with all the mics and technology working here. Are you there?
I am here, and thank you so much for having me. What a great show today. I've learned so much. What an honor. Thank you.
Oh, it's a real honor. The reason we have Jessica on is, I was calling Jessica, and I said, I got a company that's using social media. I'm not sure they're using it most effectively. Now, tell me what it is you do again. So she says, well, I help people like banks and financial institutions really manage the risk of social media. And I said, well, okay, put some meat on that bone. And she says, well, give me a name of a company. So I threw out a name of one of our clients, happened to be a financial institution. And she says, great, I'll look on it right now. And she goes, wow, what are the values of this company? I said, well, they're very conservative. And so he says, well, it's actually a quite attractive group. And I go, what are you looking at? She says, well, I just went on Facebook and just typed, and I named the name of the company and pictures of employees of this. And she says, what do you think the president would feel about seeing bikini-clad gals standing next to a keg of beer? And I go, I think he, and that came up in their company search. And she says, Dave, this is a very, very common. I said, OMG, my gosh, we have got to get you on the broadcast. So that's what landed her back on with the broadcast. She's one of my favorite people to talk to. She's so up all the time. So, Jessica, good to have you here. So we started out with that story. Just want to give you some comment on that, if you could just add 2 cents to that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And you know what? You're not the only one who is shocked. A lot of companies, corporations I go into, we do an analysis, and they're saying, oh, my goodness, what is going on? What is happening? This is our reputation. So our company is hired to go in and consult and, you know, be aware of what is happening and taking place out there. But my background, a little bit really quick and briefly, is the last 20 years I've been anywhere from a teller all the way up to management, marketing, originating for credit unions, banks, brokerages. And, you know, I have a concern for safety. I remember,
right.
You know, this is a long time. I remember a long time ago, you know, two people had to leave together at night, you know, because it's great to know that the banks care for their staff. And a lot of banks mm-hmm. and lenders are not aware of what is taking place, what is out there. And it may be a great time to educate their staff on social media safety. Or I work in compliance and human resource with companies on, you know, maybe having a little bit more policy set in place. If you're going to be posting photos like that, don't link it to our bank.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really important. Alice is still on the line, and before she has to drop, Alice, I want to have you get in a couple quick questions for Jessica, if you would, and then I know you've got to cut and run really quickly here.
Oh, I'm okay at this point. So, Jessica, welcome to the show. I'm very interested in this because of the liability for the bank. So I've seen some companies have a social media agreement signed, and some of them are very short that you can't post anything unless you clear it through our compliance department. So help us a little bit with, you know, what you're seeing. Is there a balancing act here? Should we let loan originators just sign an agreement and post on their own? How should this work as a company?
You know, every company I find is going to be different on their rules and policies, and we definitely come in and work with them on that. But first of all, I think that a lot of companies need to realize how important social media is. The statistics, which I'll get into a little bit later, definitely shows how important it is. And recently a real estate office came to me for a whole social media business plan, and they were shocked to see a lender stated that he worked for them. He had inappropriate photos, and it was linked everywhere to their company. Now, there's definitely, you know, some guidelines out there saying you don't have to go out there and start monitoring unless you are the one initiating social media. But, you know, social media is very attractive, and it is a hot item out there because a lot of people are out there. And there's guidelines just like there is if you were to do, you know, traditional print or TV or radio advertising. There's definitely some guidelines out there.
It's fascinating what they're – so let's get into that picture posting thing. Like one person just texted me, says, come on, Lincoln, give me the site. I want to go there. I want to look. And I go, yeah, okay. That really is the issue. I think what it is it's not – what we're not saying is you can't post those pictures of yourself having fun. And, you know, we've all been out there and have had our moments of, you know, just having fun. And then there's moments of indiscretion. But it's when those get transparently shared on Facebook. So, Jessica, let's talk, for example, when someone is out there having fun with joining their friends, doing whatever they're doing in whichever, you know, environment they're at, there are some rules in how you can post some things. So give our listeners some tips on this. And if you could, so there's a way to post that you could be friends only or just a family only, very close. You can start narrowing down who sees what, right?
Absolutely, and a lot of people are not aware of that. When you go to post a comment or a photo, you can be very restrictive on who sees that. I mean, you can even be so restrictive. One day I did a post that I only wanted one of my friends out of over 1,500 to see, and he's the only one that got to see it. So we definitely go in and educate companies about that, and feel free to refer people on over to my blog because there is information that links to an article from the FFIEC in regards to employees and social media. And it brings out, you know, social media. What fascinated me is even social games, you know, Farmville, Cityville. I don't play any of those games, but they're actually including that even within their social media guidelines.
That is really an interesting article that you did put up there. So it's all the unintended consequences that are there. I know that any TV and print advertising has guidelines, so there is really no difference between the two, and they need to look at that. And I think people do see the two, the social media and the print and advertising, as something different. So let's talk more about the topic of employees and what they're doing on social media and what's prudent. And how would you, how if you got engaged by a financial institution, how would you come in and start working with them?
Well, it really depends on their needs. Typically, we're hired for consulting or we're hired to create a social media business plan. And then some of the larger corporations, I definitely come in and meet with their marketing director and their HR and their legal department. And, you know, I can give advice and then they have to create what's best for them. And, you know, there is that fine line. They can't really sit there and tell employees what they can and can't do in life. But anytime it comes to directly linking to employment, you know, they might want to have some guidelines in regards to that. I mean, a lot of companies right now just think of creating guidelines on if our employees should be utilizing social media such as Facebook while we're paying them, but it really goes much further and beyond that. And what else fascinates me is how often people are posting what bank should I go to, what lender should I go to, and it's all about building up these business relationships, and people should be looking at all the positive and greatness that's out there, these in there too. And as you mentioned, my blog goes into a link with more details in regards to that as well.
Well, let's get into it. We've already teased up, got people wanting to go to the blog. So what is the address of the blog, the web address? So let's make sure we get that out there for everyone. We'll get that out there again, everybody. So what is that, Jessica?
You can just go to my website, customerwowproject.com, and it's the first article right there on my blog. It's financial institutions and social media. So it gets more into the, you know, probably guidance, legal concerns, issues. And I love to talk about the fun facts. I don't know if you want to get into that, but I always
love to share the fun facts.
So, you know, a lot of people are probably already aware that there's over a billion users on Facebook, and actually some stats just came out, and it doesn't really surprise me that majority of social media channels people spend on average 1 to 2 minutes a day, but on average Facebook has an hour. And I remember the good old days when Facebook first came out. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I remember the good old days going to, you know, other real estate professionals saying, oh, wow, you got to check out Facebook. And they thought, oh, what is that? And they just ignored me, and now they're all addicted. But I foresaw the value of communities and building those business relationships. And, you know, there's lots of statistics out there, but 97% of consumers search for local businesses online. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
When's the last time you researched a company? I mean, you probably
all the time. All the time.
I know.
It's constant.
We all do.
It's really, and it's fascinating. In fact, someone who was just tuning into the broadcast sent me a message on Facebook. I keep Facebook up and running, and the message aspects of it, it is really a powerful, effective way in which people can connect with people and stay engaged. And you are amazing. In fact, I'm on your page right now, and it's really engaging. Talk a little bit about, we've already gotten into the risks of it. There are definite do's and don'ts, and people can get a hold of you to learn those do's and don'ts. But let's talk about the engagingness. A number of people have retained you just because of how engaging you are. So talk about that, how this can be, and it's important to put, it'd be personal, but what are the, it's finding those boundaries. And so talk to us about that. Give us tips for our listeners on how to be more engaging.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's actually covered in my book and in my coaching program. We have a whole checklist and system because that's actually a really common concern of companies. They come to us and say, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to be engaging. Probably I have two tips. So one is imagine if someone's in front of you. Are
right.
you being engaging? I mean, you know, I had a company who won a big award, and I've actually had several, and they shout out, we won this big award. Well, so what? I mean, are you saying thank you? Are you saying what's great about your week? Are you saying, you know, are you keeping it engaging, conversational?
Right.
And we definitely go over, there's four foundational steps to get started on Facebook or to double-check your current Facebook plan of action. It's kind of like building a house. You don't just hop into it. It's amazing, again, how people say, next thing you know, 3 or 4 hours go by and I'm on Facebook, and I don't know what I did that whole time. So we definitely have systems and strategies as far as those four steps, as far as the social media and Facebook.
Those are four foundational steps that are just so fascinating. And, folks, you've got to get this stuff. But Jessica, you know, when you first start talking to Jessica, she is so humble. She does not really bring up some of the stuff she does. It is really it's something that I'm coming to value more and more. It's so easy to get lost in the time, and you go like, this is a waste of time. This is not working. It's not doing. Well, there is a way to employ it in a way that it will work, and it can be employed as a time waster. Let's talk about those things. So when you sit down at Facebook and you start posting away, what are some tips that you use so it is effective in using, and what do you avoid? So tell us what you avoid to make it not a time waster, but what you, some of those areas, if you could. Hope that makes sense.
Well, first, yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. So first of all, you have to have a plan of action. What is your purpose? What's your goal? What's your plan with Facebook? And then once you have a clear vision and idea what that is, then you can come in with more of a strategy. And then it's really important, the second step is to analyze your reputation. What can be done to improve? How do you look to people out there? And, you know, it can be scary sometimes to find what may be out there, you know, for some banks, but it's time to go out there and show how awesome you are. I mean, truly, most people who work for a bank usually believe in their bank, and is it really conveying how great and wonderful
yes.
they are? And that's part of the third aspect. You know, have engaging content. Show that you care for your community. You care for your employees, and you're all about culture. You know, we had a client who had a big client appreciation with over, I think, 300 people, and they took photos, and here's something important. They had a disclosure we created with their compliance that, you know, people had to sign giving permission for the photo to be out there on social media, but really showing the culture. And what was so exciting is for years they tried to win the award for best investment firm, and shortly after creating the whole social media plan, starting to go in there with action, they won that award. So they were very ecstatic. Yeah, they were very ecstatic, very excited. So they said that they know social media was the main key part in that. And then fourth, you know, have efficient ads that comply with rules and regulations. Be familiar with them. You know, have either someone come in and consult for your company and work together, because it's fascinating how many companies say we have a social media expert. They really don't know what they're doing. You know, can you come in and train or coach them? And we do that, and we all work together as a team. And it's really exciting.
Well, it's working, and more people are going online. It's absolutely essential that people have a strategy and a plan. And I just can't encourage you enough, folks and listeners, to go check out www.customerwowproject.com, customerwowproject.com. It's a great article. And then also, if before it runs crazy out, make sure you go out and be friends with Jessica online. Get to know her online through her Facebook page, Jessica Peterson. It's really a great example. I use her as a model for many of the things. Jessica, so much to talk about, so little time. Is there any other way that you would prefer people get a hold of you? Is that the best way? Is it through social media, through your Facebook?
Absolutely, and thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Folks, it's good to be with you each and every week. Next week, we have Mike Fratantoni, who's the chief economist for the NBA. We'll be giving us some of his thoughts. Joe's not going to be with us, so we're going to turn to Mike Fratantoni. Hard to replace Joe, you know what I mean, when you have him on here broadcast every time. But if we have to go do somebody, we're going to have Mike Fratantoni, the head of the economy, head of chief economist for the NBA on. So tune in next week. Joe, Alice, thank you so much. Alice, have a wonderful rest of the conference up there. And Joe, look forward to see you back here in 2 weeks. Appreciate you all. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.